Well, tonight we conclude our studies in the book of Jonah, and we turn to the last chapter in the book, Jonah chapter 4. We'll take up the reading at the final verse of chapter 3, chapter 3 and verse 10. Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Our Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself, and said, It is better for me to die than to live. Then God said to Jonah, Is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, It is right for me to be angry even to death. But the Lord said, You have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock? Well, this final chapter in the book of Jonah is in some ways rather puzzling and rather perplexing, because the book doesn't really finish in the way that we might have expected. Indeed, at first glance, this final chapter seems to be almost an anticlimax. You see, in the earlier chapters, we read how God had to discipline Jonah because of his disobedience, his refusal to go and preach in the great city of Nineveh. And as a consequence, Jonah found himself in the belly of the fish. But then, through the mercy and grace of God, Jonah was miraculously delivered. And once again, he was told to go and preach in the great city of Nineveh. And there, under Jonah's preaching, a great spiritual awakening came to the city. And everyone from the king downward repented of their sin and cast themselves on the mercy of God. The whole city of Nineveh was saved. It was absolutely tremendous. Well, if the book had finished there, at the close of chapter 3, we'd have said, well, that's a wonderful story. Jonah's back in fellowship with God. He's serving the Lord. Nineveh's repented. God's shown mercy. What a wonderful story. What a wonderful ending to the book. They all lived happily ever after. But that, of course, is not how the book ends. We move into chapter 4. And in verse 1, we read these rather puzzling words. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Nineveh has repented. God has shown mercy. And yet Jonah is blazing. He's absolutely furious. He takes no pleasure at all in what God has done. Well, I'm sure this evening, if revival were to come to Britain, if revival were to come to Ormskirk, or if 5 or 10 people in this village community were to trust the Lord, I'm sure we'd be rejoicing. We really would. And no doubt about it, the angels in heaven must have been rejoicing over what had happened in Nineveh. We're told in Luke 15 that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The courts of heaven must have been full of praise and rejoicing over what had happened in Nineveh. And yet there was one man who was certainly not rejoicing, and that man was Jonah. He was absolutely blazing. He was fuming. It displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. Well, we might ask the question, why? How could Jonah, a prophet of God, behave as he did? How could he be so rebellious, so hard-hearted? Well, it's often been said that the best of men are only men at their best. And yes, even the best of men can lapse and fall into sin. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And so as we look at the life of Jonah, in a very real sense, Jonah is a warning to each one of us. A warning that if we're not careful, any one of us can falter and fall into sin. And then too, it's also possible that at this particular time, Jonah was experiencing a very strong attack from Satan. You see, sometimes when we've experienced a time of tremendous blessing, the devil really attacks. Martin Luther once said, after experiencing a period of great blessing, he said, in the days that followed, the devil rode on my back. In the days that followed, the devil rode on my back. Well, perhaps the same was true of Jonah. After all, through Jonah's preaching, the devil's hold on Nineveh had been completely broken. And it may be that the devil responded by attacking Jonah, seeking to destroy the instrument that God had so mightily used. It may be that Jonah was under satanic attack. But you know, having said that, that in no way excuses Jonah. Clearly in God's sight, Jonah's anger was sinful. And so what did Jonah do? Well, we see in verse 2 that in the midst of all his anger and resentment, Jonah prayed. We read that he prayed to the Lord. Now, you may remember in chapter 1, Jonah had no desire to pray. He turned away from God. But now, though he's fuming with anger, he turns to the Lord in prayer. Now, notice, Jonah didn't inflict his anger on other people. He didn't share all his woes and troubles with all and everybody. Jonah went straight to the Lord. And perhaps we can learn a lesson from his example. You know, sometimes the peace and unity of a church fellowship can be greatly disturbed because people share their anger and their grievances with all and everybody. If they're upset, the whole church is to know about it. But you know, sometimes it's far better for us and for the church if only the Lord knows. And so Jonah turned to the Lord. Now, I think it's got to be said that Jonah's prayer, it was really a very selfish prayer and a very arrogant prayer. Verse 2, he prayed unto the Lord and said, Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. You know, in some ways, Jonah was rather like a child throwing a tantrum. We've got 7 grandchildren, and the eldest is only 6. So I know quite a bit about children throwing tantrums. And why do children throw tantrums? They throw a tantrum when they don't get their own way. And really, that's how it was with Jonah. God hadn't done what Jonah wanted him to do. Jonah didn't get his own way. And so Jonah threw a tantrum. He began to give God a lecture, telling God what he should have done. You see, this was an arrogant prayer. It was thoroughly selfish. And yet the amazing thing is this: God listened. God listened to Jonah's prayer. Oh, how kind, how gracious, how patient God is. Jonah was angry with God, but God wasn't angry with Jonah. God listened to Jonah's prayer. Though it was a prayer full of anger and bitterness and resentment, God listened. And then we see in verse 4 how God responded. And we see that God's response, it was very gentle, but it was also very firm. The Lord said, Is it right for you to be angry? Is it right for you to be angry? Now, Jonah's prayer reveals the reason why he was so angry. And the reason was this: it was because Nineveh had been spared. It was because, as we read in verse 10 of the previous chapter, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. That was the reason why Jonah was so angry. Now, it's true. Jonah had prophesied, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. But you know, in a sense, that prophecy, that warning, it was conditional. You see, the warning was given to a wicked, ungodly, unrepentant city. And if Nineveh had remained a wicked, ungodly, unrepentant city, then the judgment of God would certainly have befallen Nineveh. But the situation changed. Nineveh became a repentant city. The warning was given to an unrepentant city. But when Nineveh repented, the situation changed. And consequently, God's threat was removed, and God's wrath turned into mercy. You see, Jonah's preaching, it accomplished what God desired. It brought the city to repentance. But sadly, what God desired was not what Jonah desired. You see, Jonah believed that salvation was only for the Jew. And the very idea that God's grace and mercy might reach out to pagan Gentiles, even the people of Nineveh, and remember, Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, and the Assyrians were Israel's enemies. Well, the very idea that Assyrians of all people, that they should become the recipients of God's mercy, well, that was something that Jonah just couldn't accept. But Jonah, of course, was making a big mistake. Because really what Jonah was doing was this. He was putting his own ideas, his own opinions, his own prejudices before the clear teaching of God's word. Because God had made it very clear that his great plan of salvation included the Gentiles. God had promised Abraham that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Not just Jews, but Gentiles as well. But that was something Jonah chose to ignore. He put his own ideas, his own opinions, his own prejudices before the clear teaching of God's word. And that, of course, is something we must never do. The important thing is not what we think, but rather what God says. And we must never think that we know better than God. We don't. And when God has spoken, we must always be submissive to his word. And so God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Well, we see in verse 5 that Jonah didn't answer God's question. We read, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade, till he might see what would become of the city." You see, Jonah was still hoping that the city might be destroyed. He was still hoping that the city might yet go up in flames. But that, of course, wasn't going to happen. God had shown mercy. And so what did God do? Verse 6. The Lord God prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. In order to protect Jonah from the scorching heat of the sun, God provided a plant, possibly a vine, under which Jonah could shelter. God again was being gracious to Jonah. Not that Jonah deserved it, Jonah was an angry man. But God was being gracious. Just as he'd been gracious to Nineveh, God again was being gracious to Jonah. And Jonah was delighted. But you know, his joy didn't last very long. Because very early the next morning, God prepared a worm. We read in the earlier chapters how God prepared a fish. Well, now God prepared a worm. And the worm began to chew away at the plant. And the plant withered. Verse 7, but as morning dawned upon the next day, God prepared a worm. And it so damaged the plant that it withered. Well, when Jonah saw what had happened to the plant, once again he was furious. Once again, just like a child, he threw a tantrum. Verse 8. It happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Then God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "It is right for me to be angry, even to death." Well, those words really reveal the true condition of Jonah's heart. You see, Jonah was angry first of all because God had not destroyed Nineveh. But now he was angry because God had destroyed a plant. It seems that Jonah was more concerned about plants than he was about people. And so we find in the closing verses of the chapter, the closing verses of the book, verses 10 and 11, that God rebukes his servant. The Lord said, "You have had pity on the plant, for which you have not labored nor made it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock?" In other words, God says to Jonah, "You're concerned about a plant which is here today and gone tomorrow, a plant you didn't create, a plant you didn't cultivate. You're upset about a plant. Well, shouldn't I be concerned about the people of Nineveh? People made in my own image? People I love? Shouldn't I be concerned about the people of Nineveh? Jonah, which is more important, the conservation of a plant or the conversion of a soul? Jonah, which is the more important?" You see, Jonah's problem was this. He was more concerned about himself and his own little comforts than he was about the perishing multitudes in Nineveh. And you know, perhaps sometimes we can be rather like Jonah. We can be so preoccupied with our own affairs, our homes, our families, our jobs, our hobbies. And yes, it's right and proper that we give time to those things. But you know, sometimes we can be so preoccupied with our own little comforts, we scarcely think about the multitudes outside, the multitudes who are lost and perishing without Christ and without hope. And that's how it was with Jonah. Totally preoccupied with himself and his own comforts. No concern about the perishing multitudes in Nineveh. You remember the attitude of the Lord Jesus. How he viewed the perishing multitudes. We're told in Matthew's Gospel that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were weary and helpless, like sheep having no shepherd. That's how Jesus saw the multitudes. They're like sheep without a shepherd, and when he saw them, he was moved with compassion. Well, I wonder this evening, do we see the multitudes as Jesus saw them? And like Jesus, are we too moved with compassion? You see, Jonah's problem was this. He didn't see Nineveh as God saw Nineveh. As God looked at Nineveh, he saw a repentant city. A city he loved, a city he was concerned about. A city in desperate need of salvation. That's what God saw. But when Jonah looked at Nineveh, all Jonah saw was a pagan city. A city that he desperately wanted God to destroy. Jonah didn't see Nineveh as God saw it. Well, I wonder this evening, as we look at men and women outside, in all their sin, in all their ungodliness, in all their immorality, how do we see them? Do we see them through the eyes of Jesus? Do we see them as Jesus saw them? When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep having no shepherd. Well, as we draw to a close, let's ask the question, how did Jonah respond to God's rebuke? Did Jonah repent of his selfishness, his arrogance? Did Jonah change his ways? Or did he spend the remainder of his life just full of anger and resentment and bitterness? Well, I suppose the answer is this, we don't really know. Because in a sense, the story of Jonah is left unfinished. Jonah just disappears from the scene. Oh yes, Jonah was a child of God. And we can be certain that Jonah is now safe and secure in God's care and keeping. And one day in heaven, we'll meet Jonah. But what happened to him on earth, we don't really know. And you know, in a sense, it doesn't matter. Because the book of Jonah finishes by focusing our thoughts not on a man, not on Jonah. The book finishes by focusing our thoughts on God. God says, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city? Reminding us that our God is a gracious God, he's a loving God, he's a merciful God, he's a saving God. He's a God who is concerned about those who are lost and perishing. And you know what is true of God? should be true of us, God's people. And really, that's the question, and that's the challenge that the book leaves us with. Are we concerned about the souls of men? Do we have a passion for souls? You don't hear that phrase much today, do you? I remember when I was first converted almost 50 years ago, people used to talk a lot about having a passion for souls. We don't hear that kind of talk very much today. But I wonder, do we have a passion for souls? Are we concerned about the souls of men? And are we doing everything we can through our prayers, through our witness, through our giving? Are we doing everything we can to reach the lost and to extend God's kingdom? That's the great challenge that comes to us from this final chapter of the book of Jonah. The book finishes by focusing our thoughts, our attention on God, a gracious God, a merciful God, a saving God, a God who is concerned about the lost. And the challenge comes to us. Are we concerned about the lost? And are we seeking to do what we can to reach them with the good news of the gospel?